Welcome to Dark History Time with Brian. A few things before we get started. Need to let you know that you might find some of this material disturbing. We do use adult language on the show. Listener discretion is advised. So here we are, episode 2 of Dark History Time with Brian, and I figured for this week's topic we're going to hit on something that is extremely topical. It's been talked about a lot recently. Anniversary just passed here at the end of May, beginning of June. It's a topic that should have always been known about, but as we'll see as I go along, there was forces at play that didn't want that to happen for obvious reasons, and you'll see a number of parallels, or at least I did, between these events and what happened just this past summer in 2020 as well. The thought process, the fears, irrational fears at that, but let's go ahead and get into it. In post-World War I, United States, a lot of people may or may not know that there was a big spike in racial tensions. Major resurgence to the KKK. Don't know necessarily what the sociological reasons for those were, but it was happening. And we're going to take you to 1921. Tulsa, Oklahoma. At the time, population was a little more than 100,000 people. It was very high crime rates, and there was a lot of vigilante justice going on. Tulsa was highly segregated. Most of the 10,000 black residents lived in a neighborhood called Greenwood. They had an extremely thriving business district, sometimes called the Black Wall Street. On May 30th, 1921, a young black teenager, Dick Rowland, entered an elevator at the Drexel Building, and after a young white elevator operator, Sarah Page, screamed shortly after he got on the elevator. Of course, Rowland fled, but he was arrested the next morning. By then, of course, the rumors had circulated through the white community. Front page story in the Tulsa Tribune afternoon edition reported that an arrest had been made on Rowland for sexual assault. By the evening time, a white mob had gathered at the courthouse and demanded that Sheriff Willard McCullough hand Rowland over. He did refuse, and had his men barricade Rowland up on the top floor. At around 9 p.m., about 25 men, black men, who many were World War I vets, went to the courthouse to try to help protect Rowland. The sheriff turned them away as well. Of course, as you can suspect, in this environment, the rumors continued to persist of a lynch mob that was going to be put together. When the rumors persisted that the lynch mob was going to try to get Rowland out of there and administer their own justice, another group of armed black men, around 75 this time, returned to the courthouse. And they were met by 1,500 white men, who most of them had weapons as well. No one really knows what transpired or how this occurred, but there were some shots fired. Obviously, chaos ensued afterwards. And the black men retreated back to the Greenwood district that they knew. Over the next several hours, whites, some of them were deputized and given weapons by city officials, committed as many violent acts as they could. They just did as much damage as possible, including shooting an unarmed man in a movie theater. In a false narrative, which I found repeated to some extent in the summer of 2020, it was thought that a large-scale insurrection of blacks was underway, and reinforcements were coming from other towns and cities, where they were just going to overrun Tulsa. I draw the correlation there. We remember what happened in Minneapolis. The dipshit from our state that went up there. Can't even think of his last name. Kyle Rittenhouse.
Kyle, yep.
That dipshit that went up there because he was going to protect a town that wasn't his own because, you know, all these black folks were going to come and destroy the town. it's a narrative, as we see here, dating back to 1921 and even further. It's fear of the unknown, and it had disastrous consequences now, had disastrous consequences then. By the dawn on June 1st, thousands of whites had poured into the Greenwood neighborhood. They looted and burned homes and businesses, covering a 35-block area. Firefighters who showed up to help put out the flames were threatened by this mass mob and forced to leave. The Red Cross estimated that 1,256 homes burned and another 215 were looted. Lost during all this in that area were two newspapers, a school, library, hospital, churches, hotels, and stores, and many other black-owned businesses. Martial law was eventually declared around noon, and the National Guardsmen helped with fire extinguishing efforts, but, of course, they also arrested the black folks for starting it all. By June 2nd, 6,000 people were under armed guard at the fairgrounds, nearly all of them black. And if we've learned nothing so far from the narrative, they were just trying to make sure somebody didn't get lynched. And guess what, Austin? Hours after things died down, the charges against Roland were dropped. It was concluded by the police that he might have stepped on Paige's foot, or maybe he had stumbled and bumped into her. That was the extent of things. He ended up leaving Tulsa, and he never returned. So the event that started all this was fake bullshit, as it tends to be. An Oklahoma State Commission recorded 36 dead, 26 black and 10 white. Historians have put the death toll closer to 300. In the years following, segregation increased. Oklahoma's newly established branch of the KKK grew, and things, of course, didn't get any better. On top of all that, a deliberate effort to cover up the events took place. The Tulsa Tribune, the one that had that front page story talking about this sexual assault, they pulled that story from May 31st, and they removed it from all their bound volumes. It was also later discovered that the police and the state militia archives, all their stuff that they had about the event, was missing also. As a result, the massacre wasn't in history books or taught. A 2001 report concluded that 100 to 300 people were killed and more than 8,000 were made homeless during the 18 hours of the massacre. In 2018, it was finally correctly renamed. Instead of the Tulsa Race Riot that had originally been named, it was finally changed to the more appropriate Race Massacre. It only took 97 years to correct this. And just to go on a little further tangent, Oklahoma later, very soon afterwards, went on to become the scene of the Osage murders of Native folks from 1921 to 1926. Numerous other instances of racial violence have persisted through Oklahoma pretty much from the get-go. I mean, I've been there a couple times to Oklahoma City. I like driving through the place. But if you know much about Oklahoma history, a lot of bad shit happened. Hell, even their name, the Sooners, it's a Boomer Sooner. It's when the land rush took place, when the government decided, hey, we're going to make all this land available. You rush out, you stake your claim, and it's yours. That was after they'd already sent the Indians on the Trail of Tears to Oklahoma from the East Coast, made an Indian territory. Now they opened up Indian territory for white settlers, and the land rush ensued. The reason they called them Sooners is it was supposed to occur, I don't remember what time and date, but they were going to fire off a cannon, everybody's going to be lined up, you rush to stake your claim. Well, of course, people jumped the gun and away you went, and now you're protected by the government to steal the land from the natives who have already been relocated once. So, yeah, it's the 1921 Tulsa Race Massacre. It has gained a lot of attention recently. I decided to go ahead and do an episode for any listeners I might have to hit on it as well. It's something I certainly knew nothing about until just recently. The talk of it being in the in the school books. I forgot to write down, I believe it was in 08. Oklahoma tried to pass a bill saying that it needed to be taught in all schools, and of course the bill didn't make it through their local government.
It didn't make it through.
It did not make it through.
So right now it's still not required to be taught.
The proponents say that they had been teaching it since 2000. All the people that would oppose the bill said, no, it's already been being taught. The Oklahoma Board of Education says, oh, no, we've been teaching that in school since 2000.
But that's with, like, a heavy quotation, right?
Yeah,
like, she said.
Right, the validity of it, I don't know.
It's very anecdotal.
Exactly. So, who knows if it is or if it isn't. If it is, that's 21 years that they claim that it's been in the curriculum. I didn't learn about it 21 years ago. I am not saying I know a whole bunch of people from Oklahoma, but you certainly don't see Oklahomans posting about it. You certainly don't see Tulsa's posting about it. You may or may not remember the big uproar back in 2020 when old Trump wanted to do his rally in Tulsa. The date that he originally picked was Juneteenth, which is very significant to African Americans, but campaign had no friggin' clue, so they ended up changing that under public pressure, the date of it, but still it held it in Tulsa. No talk about the racial history and his rhetoric. They don't fucking know or care.
So. Yeah, I would say I doubt he's even aware of any of that. He's not informed or educated on that subject.
I mean, I'd go so far as to say if he saw Wall Street and then saw black in front of it, that was the end of his interest. So, yeah, it is my show. You'll learn my views on this. But yeah, our most recent president really was the epitome of intolerance and ignorance. I think I'll just leave it at that for now. But yeah, did you know anything about the Tulsa Race Massacre?
No, I didn't know a thing about it.
Yeah.
This is educational for me too. I've never heard of it. Never. This is all new to me.
Yeah. I didn't want to go into them too much because it was all rumor and it's still speculation. There has been a claim on, I believe it was 60 Minutes, that it was the first aerial bombing on United States soil, that the government, local government, actually tried to keep the fires going by stoking them from the air. There was a report that there were 6 airplanes flying over that area of Tulsa that day, that weekend. Nobody has confirmed. Nobody can confirm. There's just a few survivors. There was one. She just recently went to some Senate hearings, I think last week. They invited her. She's in her upper 90s now. One of the last survivors from the massacre. They all saw the planes. The excuse was that it was wire services. They were reporting down to the ground what was happening. Nobody saw anything come out of them. So who knows?
But it's still plausible.
It's plausible, and to me, it's a little bit weird. I mean, we're talking a 35 to 40 square block area, and you got 6 planes over that small of an area.
Well, yeah, those planes alone have when you're looking at like comms, they have a very wide radius that they can.
Well, this is 1921. I mean, these are biplanes.
Yeah. Okay. So I didn't think about that. Yeah.
So you got jack shit as far as that goes. I mean, right. I believe with biplanes, it's a lot of hand signals.
Yeah.
It might have been shortwave, I guess. I mean,
did they have like
radio
historians?
Let me know if it was shortwave type radio. I don't know. But either way, it's nothing like it is now. So a coordinated communication effort between 6 airplanes over limited airspace wasn't happening then.
I mean,
that's visual stuff. So that's a peculiar thing that occurred there. What their purpose was, I don't know that we'll ever know. That's probably lost to history. A number of these things are lost to history. Some of the things I read about that one statistical report that I quoted, they learned about it by trying to find other archives, and they were finding unmarked graves of people, which helped them dig further and further. But then, like I said, part of the cover-up was the Tulsa Tribune. From all of its bound copies, which I assume mean all its archives, they pulled their front page story. So, in further episodes, we'll probably get to some of the, I know I will get to some Native massacres and talk about the impact of what was called yellow journalism. With that, clearly this took place again. where they viewed their job apparently as, hey, let's stoke as much fear as we can and get the result that we want without us actually getting our hands dirty. It's happened time and time again. It continues to happen now with some of these networks that we have.
Yeah, that's never going to stop, unfortunately.
So, yeah, the 1921 Tulsa Race Massacre. Don't call it a riot. It wasn't a riot. There's been arguments over the definition of which is which.
I think there's a very distinct difference between the two. You're right.
And especially when you chase people back to the town of the segregated part of town that you clearly wanted segregated, you go to that area and then you destroy everything in that area. It's a concerted effort to try to eradicate somebody. That's my two cents. And even though I had four pages, Austin, I don't know that I got any longer today, which is fine. I like our episodes where they're at. Like I told you on the inaugural episode, there'll probably be some that are a little longer that I might have a lot more input on. This one, I don't feel like I can speak to other than reporting what took place. I can't speak from the perspective of, you know, certainly not the perspective of a black man in 1920 or even today. I don't know those experiences. I can't speak to them, and I refuse to do so. So hopefully you listeners will understand I'm trying to come from a place of integrity. I'm not going to speak for others that I have no idea what I'm saying. I'm not going to talk out of my ass just to fill space.
I'm sure a lot of listeners are probably in the same boat that I am, and that a lot of people are, that it's clearly an informative thing that I don't know how many people know about that. If I were to ask my friends about it, I don't think they would have any clue of what that even was or anything that might be related to it.
I would recommend the History Channel's website. I saw two documentaries. I don't recall the names. I should have written them down. There's two very recent documentaries on it. I would definitely look at the recent stuff. I feel like if you're going to try to go back into the archives, they're going to be manipulated. I mean, clearly, they're going to be manipulated.
Yeah, if they were manipulated from the very start, chances are they're not going to go back and correct them.
So what you need to find is probably try to find as straight a reporting as you can from the last 20 years max. And that's where I'd go with that. On that note, I will say that we have got Anchor back, or we have, I shouldn't say backup, we have it up and going, Anchor FM, where you can find these episodes in the future. It's got us on a number of platforms, one of which is Spotify, which I know is very popular. And make sure you're following Dark History Time with Brian on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Please also follow Dark History and HorrorCon, Brian's Dark History and Pop Culture page, and Morbid the Macabre. I think we finally worked out our schedule. We're going to drop my introductory episode on you guys. What the hell is tomorrow? Friday the 4th?
Which they've already heard?
Yeah.
By now, by the time they listen to this.
Yep, they will have already heard that by now. So that'll be getting dropped. And then we're going to go with dropping the episodes on Wednesdays with my clever-ass idea that I will hit you up on hump day to help you get through the rest of the week smoothly.
I love it. I love it.
And that's me trying to be clever. And on that note, I am going to turn everybody loose. Thanks for listening. Hope you learned a little bit. Hope, if nothing else, the little bit that you did learn inspires you to go research it more on your own and educate yourself on a very dark mark on relatively recent history. Have a good night, guys. Thanks for listening.